You know, my dad was famous for teaching in faith and about faith. How many of you ever heard him teach on faith? Most of you have. You know, a lot of people didn't pick up on some things that he taught. He used to say it to me all the time, and yet he taught it, but a lot of people didn't pick up on it. The greatest enemy of faith, he used to say, is unforgiveness. And, Mark 11, let's go there. Mark 11, we'll start 22. Most of you already know that. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And Dad used to say, and I've said it, that people get excited about these three verses, you know. But however, this discourse that Jesus was talking when he started, and whenever Peter called his attention that the fig tree was cursed, that he had cursed, didn't have any, you know, it was dried up. He said, that's when he said, have the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that God, it says, and it does. And it, just like in Genesis, God said, and there was, God said, and there was, God said, and there was. Now, this discourse doesn't stop with verse 24. It goes on into verse 25, but hardly anybody ever goes there. They stop at verse 24. But in verse 25, it says, when you stand praying. To me, that connects it with verse 24, doesn't it? Huh? Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Then he says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. This verse is tied to 24. You know, forgive and forget so your faith will work. In verse 25, he calls holding grudges against your fellow man a trespass. Really, it's a sin to hold grudge against somebody. People will say, well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget what they done. That's not for forgiving. You know, I once heard a man say, I know I have to forgive in order for God to meet my needs, but I'll forgive him, but I'm never going to get what he did. Well, he didn't forgive him. You know, look at the Amplified version of Mark 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Somebody say, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, it doesn't make any difference. Have they killed you yet? Have they put a crown of thorns on your head? You know, Jesus said, forgive them. Oh, don't look at me like that. That's what he said. He said, forgive them. He was forgiving them for killing him. You know, when somebody says something about you, one of the first things that people want to do, well, I'm not going to let them get away with that. They're not going to make a fool out of me and get away with it. Well, and right on out of the other side of their mouth, they say, oh, thank God, I'm confessing that God will meet all my needs. Now, how in the world can you speak that on one side and turn around and speak that God's going to meet your needs whenever you're not living or speaking in line with the Word of God? I mean, you know, now this is not a subject that I'm going to get a lot of people jumping around and woo-woo about. This is not a woo-woo subject, but it's an important subject if you want your faith to work. Come on now. Here, he's talking to the believers here. He was talking to the disciples. We are also his disciples. Is that not correct? So, you know, you can make your faith grow by exercising and feeding on God's word, but it's not going to work if you have unforgiveness in you. You know, I know people that would get up and walk out of the church when the pastor start talking about unforgiveness. They say, bless God, I'm not going to listen to anything that's against faith. Well, that's not against faith. That's trying to get them where their faith will work. But to them, that's again, it's you're speaking against faith. You know, feeding on any one part of the Word of God is harmful. You have to have a balanced spiritual diet. You know, feeding on any this one food alone, you're going to run into problems. You got to have a balanced, well-balanced diet. You know, you need to balance your spiritual diet so that the spiritual man will be strong. You know, when I was in elementary school, I remember this very distinctly. The teachers, they were trying to teach us about good eating habits and eating the right foods. And they show us a picture of a guy. He's strong and big and strong. But then all he ate was ice cream and candy and all the kinds of other junk. And it wasn't very long before he wasn't big and strong anymore. And what they were trying to do, they're trying to get across to us, unless we eat a proper diet, we're going to become weak, wasted away, probably overweight because you're eating the wrong thing. Now, that's true with God's Word. We've got to feast on the Word of God, but if you don't balance everything, you become imbalanced, then it's not going to work either. You know, when people get imbalanced with the Word of God, they usually go off the deep end somewhere. And they go off with they get off with all kinds of crazy doctrines. Hello? Y'all there? See, I've been around this all my life. I've seen just about everything you can think of that has been come under the name of God. You know, it's because people get off. They don't have a balanced word, the balance of the Word in them. You know, if you ever heard my dad talk, he used to talk all the time about the fact that we need to have a balance in our, you know, everything needs to be balanced. Every scripture needs to be balanced with other scriptures, out of two or three scriptures. Some people try to take one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. That's not possible. Well, you can do it. I can take a scripture and say it's possible. You're supposed to do anything. You know, it said Judas went and hanged himself, and another scripture says, "Go thou and do likewise." So we can, you know, we can have. I mean, but that's what people do when they get out of balance with the Word of God. You know, if your prayers aren't getting answered like you think they should, maybe you need to start checking up and see if you've harboring something against somebody. You know, years and years and years ago, a student was having problems, and they came and talking to me, and they said, "Man, everything that's going wrong." And so I tried to talk to them, and I, you know, ask them about their lifestyle and so forth to find out were they doing anything wrong. No. And finally, I said, "Well, now wait a minute. Has anybody done anything that has got you upset or you feel like somebody has wronged you?" "Yes. About 2 months ago, my roommate decided he was going to move out and get his own place. And we made a pact when we came to school and we got the apartment together and we would live together the entire school year. But now he has decided that he doesn't want a roommate. He wants to get his own place." And I said, "Well, is he leaving you just holding the lease?" He said, "Oh, no, the lease runs out in 2 months. And he told me 2 months ago before the lease run out that he was going to do this." Well, I said, "He didn't leave you holding the bag." "Well, I know that. But you see, I want you to realize that he said and he made an agreement with me and he didn't hold in up in his end of the bargain and I'm not going to let him get away with it." Wow. You know, I said, "Well, now we need to talk about it." So I tried to talk to him. He said, "Oh, no, he did me wrong. And that's a mark against him. And, you know, I had seen this happen before, and I know I'd talk with Dad about it, and, you know, over the years, and seen him talk to people. And he said, anytime anybody starts going down that road of harboring unforgiveness, they'll wind up messed up. And I tried to tell him that. No, I'm gonna tell everybody about how he doesn't keep his word. And he just went on. I said, you better not. Well, it wasn't, you know, about a month before school was over, we had to let him go. Because now he began to remove, well, I don't understand why you got this rule. I don't have to obey that. I'm under the word of God. I'm not under all your rules. Well, at the beginning of school year, he was a bright young, very young, good student, showed great promise. But by holding a grudge, he allowed unforgiveness to get in his heart. And it just got him, the devil got him all messed up. And there he was. And it all started out over unforgiveness, holding something against somebody. Have you ever noticed somebody that started holding a grudge against somebody and talking every time you seen them, they was talking bad about them? Have you ever noticed that they just keep going that way and everything becomes wrong? Anybody ever noticed that besides me? You see, that's the way the devil traps people. You know, when you start holding grudges, it's just like the fatty plaque that begins to get, you're not eating right and so forth, and it begins to get in your artery, and pretty soon it just stops up the whole artery. That's the same thing in the spirit realm. Unforgiveness builds up in the same way in you. The more you talk about it, and the more you begin to collect all of this until you stop up the channel where even the Spirit of God can even talk to you. You won't listen to anybody. You know, you have to get in there with the knife of the Holy Spirit and begin to get rid of that. You know, I refuse to dwell on anything that anybody said about me. I've had plenty of opportunities. I mean, all you got to do is go on and Google my name, and you. I don't do it. I don't care. People told me about it. I don't care. I mean, I'm going to do what I feel like God's got me going doing, and if they don't like it, that's their problem, not mine. You know, I think I've told you this before, but I tell you, you know, it's been a while back now, maybe a couple of years. I don't know. Time flies with me because I'm going so hard and going so many places. He come up to me and told me, I don't like the way you preach. And I just looked at him about a half laugh and said, that's your problem, not mine. Turned around and walked off. But some people would let stuff like that bother them, you know. Well, hey, I'm not going to hold a grudge against anybody. I don't care what they do. You know, I refuse to dwell on what people say about me. I refuse to dwell on these things. And I've had plenty of opportunity. Back when I first came with this ministry, back in, 72, 73, when I first came to work for Dad, left the church where I was associate pastor, my father-in-law, I was going to take that church over when he got ready to retire. And so now, here I am. I'm a seasoned minister. I've been preaching every Sunday. Been preaching, and I'm going at a convention where of the denomination I was in, and here are these friends of mine that went. Some of them went to school with, and kids that, you know, grew up pastors' kids that are now pastors themselves, and they're scheduling these kids out of Bible school to come preach for them. There I am, a seasoned minister, and nobody is. No, but they're not scheduling me. They're not asking me to come and preach for them. And I remember one of them had a pretty good church. And I remember years later, after, you know, I'd been overseas and preached in Jabalani Stadium there in 78, I think it was, to about 10,000 people. And this guy saw me at a meeting, and he said, "Oh man, you could really help me. I really need you to come down and preach for me." I wanted to tell him, "Hey, when I needed you, you didn't need me, and now I don't need you." But I didn't. But I wanted to. I'm not going to say that I didn't. But you got to let stuff like that go. See, immediately in my mind, the enemy said, "Remember, he didn't want you," and blah, 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 blah. And I said, no. Yeah. You know, I didn't hold any grudges against him. And I would have went if I'd ever had an opportunity, but I never had the opportunity to go at the right time. But you see, I've had opportunities like that many, many, many times. You know, so you got to, some people say, "Well, how do you do it?" I just don't. My wife will tell you, she'll say, "You remember this?" And I said, "No, I don't remember it." Because I let it go. I don't, you know, if you're going to harbor something, then it's going to be there and it's going to fester until it becomes like a sore, you know. How many, any of you guys ever played baseball, softball, and slid into second base and got what we used to call a strawberry? I mean, the kids now, they got them slide. My grandsons got them sliding pads, but we didn't have none. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't have none of them back in the day. And the thing just about healed up, and you slide in again and rip the scab off of it. Well, you know, that's what happens. You can just about maybe let something go, and then something else will happen, and then it's like, and it just keeps happening over and so many times until now, all of a sudden, you get a bad attitude. You can't afford to get a bad attitude if you want your faith to work. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Unforgiveness is a big hindrance to faith." In fact, my dad used to call it the biggest hindrance to faith is people not forgiving somebody for something they do. You know, I just refuse to dwell on something that somebody done to me or said about me. It's a choice. You can make a choice to entertain it and think about it and think about it, or you can just let it go. That's what the Amplified said. Remember, I read it here. I'll go back and read it to you again. It said here in the Amplified, you know, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop. Leave it. Let it go." Now, that's some people, that's a little hard for. Others, it's a little easier. But you can train yourself to do that. You can train yourself to, okay, they said it, I'm going to forgive them and go on. You know, when I was in the Army, I worked in security, and I had this highest clearance this country gives, and if I had a need to know it, I could know it. When I walked out of those doors, I didn't even think about that stuff anymore, because if I inadvertently said something, I'm liable for 20 years in Leavenworth prison. And because of, you know, it's all secret stuff. And somebody said, "How do you do that?" I said, "Hey, it's real easy to learn to do that." But you know what? Because I learned to do that, I can have my desk at the office in Rhema, the school, and I've got the churches, and I got the ministerial fellowships, I got the schools all over the world. I can walk out of there and leave all that stuff on my desk and go out and hold a crusade and never even think about that stuff. Because I learned to teach myself, hey, just like that stuff in that comm center that I'm working in, it'll be there when I come back, the next shift. When I come back, it'll be there, and I work on it there. Outside here, I don't think about it. I mean, even us guys, if we went out to where we go out to eat together, and it's not our shift, the other group's on, but we're going back on shift in 8 hours or so. We didn't even talk about it among ourselves outside of those walls. You can train yourself to let stuff go and not think on it. You know, I remember when I was, 14, 15 maybe. Well, you know, my dad was in an organization and we was at one of the big conventions. And so us, a bunch of us preachers' kids up there in the balcony because they was having stuff down there on the floor, having a business meeting, and they got to arguing with one another over stuff. You know, the guys down there, they were just discussing different things, and we got to taking sides up there. You know, somebody said something about somebody's dad, and the next thing you know, a bunch of guys are into it. You know, and later on, I saw one of the guys, you know, after I got into ministry, and I told him, forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't right. So I want you to forgive me. But you said something, and, you know, and he said, no way. You hit me and whip me, and I'll hold it against you till the day I die. Well, I just forgave him and prayed for him because I can't control what he does, but I can control what I do. So I just don't get upset. I mean, I just don't hold anything against somebody. Sorry, my phone went off. I forgot to turn it off. You know, anybody that has any intestinal fortitude, you know what that is? That's the Oklahoma guts, but that's the good way to say it. You're going to get upset occasionally, but it doesn't have to remain there. In fact, the Word of God says, be angry, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You know, there's a difference between getting upset and holding a grudge. In fact, my dad used to talk about that you can disagree agreeably. He had a lot of ministers, and I've heard him talk to them, and you know, I used to sit and listen to them talk all the time. As I was growing up, I used to stay up, and Dad traveled I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. In between churches, he would travel and preach, and when he left that last time, never did pastor again. But and even when I'd go out with him, and he'd come get me and take me with him on the road sometimes, on a long weekend or if I had a week off from school, and I'd listen to them talk. And they both believe this, one believe this, one believe the other. There's no way, you know, to, by the Word of God, to prove either one of them is right or wrong. So they just agreed to disagree. Hello. Now, probably, I don't know how many of you know anything about eschatology, but if you know something about it, when it comes to tribulation, there's three thoughts. There's pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a few of you know what I'm talking about. Actually, there's not enough to prove either one of those theories. Really? Now, I think there's enough that would lean, I would lean personally from what I've studied in it, I would lean more toward pre or mid. Really, I lean more toward the mid because of some things that are said there, because the first 3.5 years is going to be years of peace, and then it's after that it starts downhill in a hurry. It goes downhill in a hurry. But, there's no use of somebody getting upset. And I've seen people, just because you get upset because they don't believe like you do. We're seeing it happen in our own country right now over politics, just because somebody doesn't believe like you do. Well, it happens in the church. Things like that happen here in the church. And we need to learn, you know, I don't know how many times, I've been this long time, I've been in a lot of churches. I don't understand why they put them up there on the platform. I can sing better than they can. I can play the piano better. Okay, why did the pastor do that? And I want to tell you what. If enough people in the church get upset over something, they can cause the whole church to not function properly. And I've seen it cause church splits. All started because they appointed somebody to play the piano that everybody, half of them thought they should, and they thought so-and-so should play it. Come on now. I mean, is that worth your faith not working over? See, you know, some people hinder their own prayers because they hold a grudge against somebody. You know, when you stand praying, forgive. That's what it says. And that ought to be the thing in our mind. We ought to realize that your faith is not going to work if you got unforgiveness. Now, you can go back on the other side, and we could teach a little bit on the other side, which I won't. But you go back and it says faith works by love, right? Well, you can't have love in your heart and grudge in your heart at the same time. Come on now. They don't mix. We've heard that before. So if you're walking in love, you're walking in forgiveness. You're forgiving them. Am I right or wrong? So if you want strong faith to work, learn how to forgive and forget. Live. Somebody said, well, God can do anything. No, he can't. He can't go contrary to what the Word of God says. If the Word says it, that's it. The Bible states it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. So, if you want your faith to work, what do you got to do? Forgive and what? Because if you don't forget, you're not forgiven. Come on now. So choose to think in line with God's word. Choose to speak in line with God's word. Choose to live in line with God's word. And you'll see that you'll begin to rejoice. And you'll see that you'll come out on top on every situation. And as you walk with me, I will lead you and I will guide you and I will take you to the places that you've never thought about going to as you learn how to walk in my word and forgive and forget. Hallelujah. Well, that's just, somebody said, well, what was that? Well, it wasn't on these notes. It's just something Holy Spirit brought up in me and I just spoke it out. Trusted, help somebody. Heavenly Father, we've spoken to the people tonight for a few minutes about forgiveness. Because we understand and realize from the Word of God that if we want our faith to work, we got to forgive. Help us, Father, to learn how to do that like Jesus did when he said, forgive them, because they don't understand what they're doing. Help us to forgive people and go on down the road and let the Word of God be our guide and our what we follow. I thank you for ministering to every heart in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If there happens to be somebody in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and need to rededicate your life to God, I want to pray for you tonight. Anybody, anywhere in this place. I feel like the Holy Spirit's asking me to do something. I don't want anybody looking around. Nobody. Nobody, no ushers, nobody looking around. And the Lord has instructed me, if you're here and you realize that you need to change, that you're holding some things, just put your hand up. I want to pray for you. Just put a hand up. Anybody in the room, go ahead, put them up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Put them back down. Heavenly Father, honest hearts have heard your word tonight and have realized that they need to make a change. Father, I thank you that you, Holy Spirit, will help each one of them to make this change in their lives, and that you'll help them to rid themselves of harboring thoughts, feelings against anyone. And I thank you, Father, that you said in your word that if we would ask, you would do. So we are asking and we are thanking you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody stand up, put your hands up and thank God, because he's working in our lives. He's working in all of our lives. He's correcting us with his Holy Spirit in our lives. He's helping us to forget and forgive. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Yeah, my wife wants to share something with you guys. That's my helpmate.
Yeah. I'm not going to be here for just a minute, but I just want to share this with you because, you know, Pastor grew up in a home to where forgiveness was just instant. And
it,
when
was
you,
part of, it was
and
part of our
when
lifestyle.
When grown up like that, it's really easy to forgive. But I didn't grow up in a home like that. And so I had trouble forgiving. And I just want to give you a scripture that will help you, because this is the scripture that the Lord gave me. And mark it or write it down. It's Matthew 5:44, which says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and here's the key, pray for them which despitefully use you." Now, I will tell you, there were some people, I read this scripture every day. This was the first scripture that I read every day. And there were people that I had to pray for 10 years before I could forget it. But once I pass that test, it's really easy now. And so I just encourage you to read that scripture every day. Think about those, pray for those people that you may have had ought against and hold grudges against. And I will tell you, it will transform your life.
Amen. Yeah. You know, you can forgive. And if the other person is not, you just pray for them. I just always pray for them. Lord, help them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't forget, they got some dessert and a lot of desserts out there, I understand. Yeah, I'm getting thumbs up on that. A lot of desserts out there. Go out there and let's scarf up on those. I'm going to go shake hands back here. My wife will go to one door. I'll go to the other. And we'll see y'all next week, 6 o'clock, right here. All right. Praise the Lord. Don't forget all the announcements. If you want to go to the ball game, see Greg.